Longtime Boston Globe columnist Kevin Cullen is on administrative leave amid allegations that he fabricated stories about the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings. Here's Cullen on the BBC right after the bombings talking about Bill Richard, the father of 8-year-old Martin Richard. Martin Richard was killed in the explosions.
When he finished the race, his young son left the sidewalk. He went out into Boylston Street and hugged his dad. And then he went back onto the sidewalk, and his father walked on to register his time, and the bomb exploded. The boy was killed. His mother was severely injured.
The big problem with that story is that the father, Bill Richard, never ran the marathon. Yikes. So we did reach out to the Boston Globe today asking for comment. They referred us back to their original statement, which says, quote, "The integrity of each of our journalists is fundamental to the Globe." They also said they're committed to a thorough and transparent investigation by a third party. For more on this, we're joined by John Carroll. He's WBUR's senior news analyst and a professor of journalism at Boston University. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we should say, let's start off. Kevin Cullen has contributed to WBUR and to Radio Boston in the past, but let's talk about these specific allegations. Explain what stands out in your mind in terms of what Kevin Cullen is accused of doing here.
Well, I think there are some things we can say with a fair amount of certainty. One is that in a number of columns and interviews, Kevin Cullen gave the impression that he was there at the time of the bombing. Now, on other occasions, he has said he was a mile away. He told the BBC that. He said he was at work in one context. He said he was about 2 or 3 hours away. So there's been a sort of a range of stories and narratives about where he was. But certainly you look at some of the columns that he wrote, and it certainly gives the impression, and in that clip we heard, certainly gives the impression that he was there.
Mm-hmm. And then we found out that he was not.
Right. And he
explain how all this came to light.
So this is the result of a sort of a back and forth between WEEI Radio and the Boston Globe. They've been at it for a couple of months now over some racial insensitivity. WEEI, Kevin Cullen weighed in and talked about open racism at EEI. EEI, Kirk Minahan in particular, one of the morning anchors, saw Kevin Cullen's memorial, 5-year memorial story on the marathon bombings, and looked at it and said, wait a minute, I don't think he was there. Subsequently, they started looking at other pieces of evidence, and Kirk Minahan says that he talked to Kevin Cullen and asked Kevin Cullen, was he there? And Kevin Cullen said no. He was not there. He got there a few hours later. So that triggered sort of a backward look at a number of different columns that Kevin Cullen had written and interviews that he had given to find these inconsistencies and, in some cases, what the charges are were fabrications.
So before we get into, you know, whether there may or may not have been a vendetta here or anything else, let's talk about the journalism. Why wouldn't the Globe have noticed this before? We're talking 5 years ago.
That's pretty inexplicable. I mean, you know, you have to look at Kevin Cullen, his position at the Globe. I mean, he's a Bigfoot at the Globe, and he comes out of this tradition of the Metro street reporter, you know, goes all the way back to Damon Runyon in New York, Ben Hecht in Chicago. You know, and you can see the through line through Jimmy Breslin, Mike Royko, and he comes out of sort of that tradition. And at one point, he even said, the street is my office. So he has a certain amount of autonomy. He has a certain amount of credibility in the Globe newsroom. And I think that it's difficult in many cases to edit and fact check some of these things on the fly. Daily newspapers can't do what magazines can do. They can't really fact check. They need to trust their reporters and their columnists that they're operating in good faith. Mm-hmm. And when they're not, in cases like Jason Blair, you know, it can have really disastrous results. But a newspaper can't operate really much of any other way.
Do you think it's different, or editorial standards might be different when you're talking about a columnist versus a reporter? I mean, is that something here, or, you know, that you have to maybe give the columnist a little bit more leeway, right? Because
sometimes, but the columnist is still a journalist, and the columnist is still responsible to the facts. And it doesn't give them license to go out and make things up, construct dialogue. You know, we've seen this at the Globe in a couple of high-profile cases with Mike Barnicle, with Patricia Smith.
Right.
And so the columnist should be held to the same standard mm-hmm. of journalism and verification as a reporter is.
The Globe won a Pulitzer for its coverage of the Marathon bombings. I mean, could that be at risk? Could they take the prize back?
It's hard to know. My understanding is they've never taken one back, but you look back in 1982, a famous case of Janet Cook at the Washington Post, who concocted this 8-year-old heroin addict.
Right.
And when it came out that that was not true, that that was basically a fabrication, the Washington Post gave back the Pulitzer. Mm-hmm. One of the complicated things here is that Kevin Cullen was part of a team that won the Pulitzer for
right.
breaking news coverage. And so you've got a number of other people involved here that really makes it more difficult, I think, than the Post, which was pretty straightforward.
What do you think this does for the Globe's reputation?
I think it all depends on how they handle it. They have an independent person coming in to examine we're not sure what. It may just be an examination of Kevin Cullen's marathon coverage. It may be a wider examination when they looked at Mike Barnicle's work. They looked at pretty much all of his work, and found a number of cases where he had concocted things, and so the range of the investigation is going to be something that's going to have a significant influence on how the Globe is viewed at the end of this.
Right. You know, you mentioned some of the other things that happened at the Globe, Mike Barnicle and Patricia Smith, but we're in a very different landscape, and there are some interesting things happening here in this landscape, I think. First of all, we've got the whole attack on the mainstream media and fake news and all of that. There's that. But there's also, you mentioned EEI, but it wasn't just WEEI. It was also this blog, Turtle Boy,
right.
Turtle Boy Sports, right? This blogger, Turtle Boy, who is breaking stories, broke, we're going to be talking about state police in a couple of minutes, broke one of the stories involving the state police. So what do you take from that landscape in this particular incident,
Well, it's interesting because the media landscape used to be pretty much vertical. You had the people who were up at the top, like the New York Times and, you know, the network newscasts, and then you worked your way down to, like, Inside Edition and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The news media landscape now is pretty much horizontal, and people are looking at them as all sources of information with, to many people, equal credibility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go out and you prove it by your reporting. So a blog can do in-depth reporting and break stories the same as a mainstream metro newspaper can.
Mm. And what about the claim about a vendetta between WEEI's part here, against the Boston Globe because of the reporting about the, comments mm-hmm. that were offensive on EEI?
Yeah, some of the defense of Kevin Cullen has been sort of a shoot the messenger defense, and say, look at the source. Why would you consider them a credible source? And they didn't do themselves any favor at EEI by coming out with this real smash mouth rhetoric when they first started it. They've toned it down a little bit, but mm-hmm. I think that's one of the issues that's going to allow people, if they want to dismiss these charges. But the evidence is the evidence, and there is textual evidence that something was awry here.
Mm. So, what do you think will happen? Any bets at this point, or?
I'm not in the business of speculating. I've been wrong too many times.
Yeah. But still, it looks like a stain on journalism.
And if you look at the Globe, the recent problem with a lack of transparency around one of their reporters who was forced to leave the paper because of some sexual misconduct allegations on Beacon Hill, that doesn't help either.
Right. All right. John Carroll, WBUR senior news analyst, and professor of journalism at Boston University. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, proposed reforms for the Massachusetts State Police. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.